Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Lila Rose Show. I hope everyone is having a good week with all the challenging factors considered right now. This is a chaotic, crazy time for so many people, but I hope this episode gives you a lot of hope and a lot of resources, quite frankly, because this is something that I think is going to be helpful to really everyone listening in one way or another. I'm really excited that I'll be talking with Rachel Cruz today. Rachel is a New York Times bestselling author and an expert on personal finance. She's co-authored a book about finance with the guru himself, Dave Ramsey, and is also the author of Love Your Life, Not Theirs, 7 Money Habits for Living the Life You Want. She hosts her own show and she shares other amazing resources, which you can find on her website, rachelcruz.com. And that's C-R-U-Z-E.com, rachelcruz.com. Rachel, thank you so much for joining the show today.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We're both sheltered in place in our homes doing this. So, you know, making the most of the time. I'm sure you've been very busy though, because of your expertise. I mean, a lot of people are looking for answers and help right now in the area of finance.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is a crazy time health-wise, you know, for sure with the virus, but also the economic impact is massive.
Yes.
And it's just, it is wild. And so people are, you know, in a sense, sort of scrambling, especially if they've lost their income. And it's like, what do I do? How do I continue on with this life right now, considering my whole world financially has just been turned upside down? And so really giving people a plan and a purpose with what to do is really important right now. And so, yeah, we've been almost busier than ever. Some people are like, wow, everything has slowed down. And I'm like, oh my gosh, mine's
not
the opposite.
not for you, not right now. Well, yeah. A few quick questions first on your background. So you've got quite a lot of accomplishments and your expertise and how you've been helping people. But a word has it that you actually, you are more than just a co-author with Dave Ramsey on one of your books, but he's also your dad, which
yes,
is very,
right.
Very fun. So I'm just curious, when you were growing up with Dave Ramsey as your dad, who is this, you know, obviously has trailblazed so much in the world of personal finance, did you get an allowance? And did he make you create a financial plan for your allowance?
Well, what's funny is, no, we did not get an allowance. We got a commission.
A commission.
So
okay.
You work, you get paid. You don't work, you don't get paid. So his whole thing is like, if everyone could live on commission, that would be like
That's
his way
so
to do
funny.
It.
So he's and like, is that like empty the dishwasher work or what kind of work is
yeah,
that?
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of all over the place. There were certain things that we did just because we were part of the family. So almost, I remember like the kitchen growing up, for instance, like we didn't get paid on that stuff. Like we had to, yeah, take our dishes to the sink, load the dishwasher, unload, help
That's
mom.
Just civic like, duty.
That's right. Exactly. That's because you're part of the family. You have responsibility. But there are other things that they for sure paid us on. Every, you know, small things, feeding the dog or, you know, making our bed, cleaning our room, like those kind of things. Because, you know, while there are, again, some things that your kids need to do around the house because they're part of the family and you don't get paid on everything in life that, you know, you do. So that's a good lesson to learn. But also, I think you miss so many teachable moments when you don't pay your kids for any kind of work, because the earlier they can grasp that money comes from work, money doesn't just come from mom and dad's back pocket, the easier that transition into adulthood is. Like when work has just been a part of your life and you understand here's the money for it, is so key. And then yes, kind of our quote unquote financial plan, we had 3 envelopes. And they are marked give, save, and spend.
That's
and
awesome.
So we had to put money in each of those every time we got paid once a week. And yeah,
and,
so
and was, you were rich was, by the time you were 18.
Well, what's funny is I think a lot of people assume, okay, Dave Ramsey, you know, he's your dad. They think that we grew up with like mutual funds, birthday parties, and we went to budget camps every summer and stuff. And that was not the case. They really did teach us kind of in the ebb and flow of life. So even just what I just talked about, the chores and the, you know, understanding that you need to give, save, and spend and all of that. Like that was just like kind of just a part of life. It wasn't like this big sit down money summit that we had every week. So that's an encouragement to parents too. You don't feel like you have to, you know, teach them about growth stock mutual funds when they're 4. just the like very age appropriately start to show them what money's like.
Yeah. And it's never too late to learn, obviously. So if you, regardless of how your financial, you know, what your education was on that growing up, like this, we're going to get into this podcast as what to do today for people that are having, you know, big financial questions. But I love that your work is not just for adults, although a lot of it is, but you also address parents and kids, because I have a 3 month old, and I'm already thinking, you know, how do I give him the best of everything in education? You know, how do I help him be well formed? So I love that he, you know, your dad did that. It's very simple, but I see how powerful that can be for kids. So
yes, absolutely.
So as you know, everyone listening knows from the news, you know, our country is really suffering right now. And, you know, not just because of coronavirus. I mean, that's the worst of people actually facing that illness and the deaths and the loss and all that pain, but also those who are struggling economically. And it looks like our country is in a recession right now. Can you talk a little bit about what that means? Because, you know, there's depression, the Great Depression, there was a 2008 recession, and now there's this kind of unusual recession, which seems kind of forced on us for a time, which hopefully can be lifted. But can you talk through that a little for our listeners?
Yeah, for sure. Well, there's kind of, in a weird way, there's different camps of how people define a recession. The most kind of basic definition that's around is that when the GDP is down two consecutive quarters. So if you go by that definition, technically we're not in a recession. So it will take until about July, August to actually define those two quarters to say, okay, if we are down consecutively those two quarters, then we are technically in a recession. Some other people just say, you know, a recession is when, you know, the economy slows down and it starts dipping. So no matter kind of how you look at it, what you really have to realize is that there are things that you just don't control. Like, we don't control what's going on in Washington. We don't control what's going on our state level. There are a lot of things that we cannot control, but there are a lot of things we can control. And so realizing the controllables in your life when it comes to your money is what's really important right now. And so I always tell people, I'm like, don't worry what's going on in the White House, worry about what's going on in your house. So the income you do have coming in, if you do, or if you're searching, you know, for a job, you're in unemployment right now, like, no matter where you are, being very, very intentional with the money you do have, making it stretch as far as you possibly can during this time, prioritizing, you know, all of those things are the things that you can control. So the recession, again, depending on the definition you want to use, but there's not much we can control in that, you know? And so really, really focusing though on your life and your money and your house is what's key.
So I did a bit of a poll and asked folks, what kind of questions, you know, they would want to ask you. And so these are some of the things that I got in. So first I'm going to go through them. And then I know you have some kind of big picture advice for people financially, but especially starting with kind of the immediate, what we're facing right now. And I know that'll be connected to that bigger picture advice, of course, but for somebody who just lost their job and they do not have, and maybe it's temporary, maybe it's not, they're not sure. Or maybe they do know, but they don't have that job right now. They don't have that income and they do not have this rainy day fund, you know, the emergency savings fund, that extra money in the bank. What would you recommend for them? That's probably the toughest question. I will start with that one.
Yeah, for sure. Well, here's the thing with money, no matter coronavirus or not, money really flows in two directions. It flows in and it flows out. And if you don't have money to be able to flow out, then yeah, then there kind of is a red flag of like, okay, what do I do? So you have the option of filing unemployment if you wanted to go that route. But I'm under the impression and I see the facts that there are companies and there are industries hiring right now like crazy. So there are some industries that are completely, I mean, they're gone basically. It seems like restaurant industry, you know, for the most part, hospitality. I mean, there's a lot of sectors of the economy that are basically done right now.
Retail, absolutely. In brick and mortar retail.
That's right. But there are a lot of industries that are completely thriving. So everything from like delivery services, grocery stores, Zoom actually is hiring a ton of people. That's what we're using right now. A lot of online services are just like scraping at the bit to get other people on board because they're so overwhelmed with work. So that's the good thing about what's going on right now. If there is a silver lining in the workforce, is that there are places hiring, and it may not be, of course, your dream job. It may not be the job that you thought you'd have. And you may end up having two of these jobs right now just to supplement the income, but whatever you can do to bring that money in, because I want you to be able to cover what I call your four walls, and that's food, shelter, utilities, and transportation. Sorry. So food, shelter, which would be rent or mortgage, your utilities and your transportation, making sure those four things are covered. So I do not want you to try to stay current with your student loan or MasterCard and not feed your family. So those are your priorities right now. And it's kind of one of these times, man, that you kind of just have to grip down and say, you know what, I'm going to do whatever it takes to bring some kind of income in. And my encouragement too to people is that this will pass. Like, this is temporary. I'm praying it's a short-term thing than a long-term thing. We don't know. None of us have a crystal ball. But at the end of the day, I just believe in the American economy enough to know that we are going to come back from this. And that life as we know it, you know, may forever change in some parts of our lives. But in other parts, I think we're going to go back to it because we did have such a strong economy going into this. I mean, unemployment was at an all-time low. And so I'm praying that, you know, momentum that we had before this kind of picks up after this coronavirus stuff is all done with. But again, my encouragement for those that have no money coming in, that you have to have something coming in at some level. So again, whether that's through unemployment, I would prefer if you can go get one of those jobs of sectors or industries that are hiring.
Do you have any, I mean, this might be on your website, but any tips for even that job hunt? I mean, I've heard about Amazon hiring, like you said, and food delivery services and things like that. Do you have any tips for that?
Yeah, you know what? Ken Coleman, who's one of our other Ramsey personalities, his whole focus is on jobs and That's your awesome. Purpose in life. And so seriously, go check out his website. He has so much content around what it looks like to even buff up your resume beef up your resume to, you know, with that interview process. If you, you know, haven't had an interview in years because you've had the same job, but then you've been let go, you know, how to walk through those steps effectively. So definitely check out kencoleman.com.
That's awesome. And I'll include that in the show notes too for folks, your website and Ken's. So a few other quick kind of popcorn things here about immediate questions people might be asking. So for example, eviction moratoriums, that has been put in place at least in California and some other regions. If there is an eviction moratorium, do you encourage where someone lives, do you encourage that they not pay their rent or should they go on as if they are, you know, as before and try to pay rent?
Yeah, I would say just try to stay current. And I think state by state, it depends. I'm not sure in California, but for a lot of states, you know, with their mortgage or their rent, this grace period, you still have to owe that money at the end, right? So once this is over, you're still going to owe your mortgage payment and the interest. So as quickly and as current as you can be with your rent and mortgage is what I would encourage. But yeah. But if your rent is due next week and you don't have a job and you don't foresee having one in the next 6 days, then yeah, take that grace period if you need it.
And would you use emergency, let's say someone has the emergency fund, but income has dropped or they've lost income altogether. Would you recommend using emergency fund for that grace?
100%.
Okay.
Yes. Because this is an emergency. So we always say an emergency is when it's unexpected. Yeah. And when it's urgent, and that's what this is. I'm like, man, I never knew a virus was going to be an example of what to use your emergency fund for, but that's where we're at in life right now. I'm like, wow, it's crazy. But no, that's what it's there for. So use it.
And two more kind of really specific questions. So mm-hmm. you, as everyone knows, the government passed recently the $2 trillion stimulus package, and it's meant to, you know, help people struggling, small businesses, individuals. What should the people receiving stimulus checks, you know, that could be, I don't know, $1,300, I think, $500 for kids, you know, double for a household. For those that are receiving those checks, what do you recommend that they do with the money?
Sure. Well, if you've lost your income, use it to live off of. Use it if you need to buy food, if you, you know, need to pay your rent or mortgage. Definitely use it if you need to. If your income is still coming in and you're in an industry, maybe you're a FedEx driver and your wife's a teacher or who knows, you know, like whatever industry you're in and you know, I'm not going to lose my job during all of this. Like my job will stay current. I will continue to get a paycheck. Then for that stimulus, then you can throw it at your debt if you want. But if you don't have at least $1,000 saved in the bank, cash, make sure to build that up first and foremost. So if you've lost an income, use that money, save it if you can, but if you need to use it to live off of, use it. But if your income is still coming in and it's still pretty predictable, make sure you at least have $1,000 cash in the bank, and then you can use it to pay off some debt.
So it's not the time to go shopping online.
Exactly. That's a great question. That's a great question.
Not because, I mean, some of the politicians were kind of, I mean, even the president was sort of like, let's get the economy moving again. Like obviously this money for necessities, but also like go shop, like, you know, go on a little shopping excursion online.
I know. And I just don't agree with it. When I heard that, I was like, oh man. And I've had that question though, genuinely from people like, do I need to help stimulate the economy? Just check. And I'm like, no, it is not your job right now specifically to do that. It's your job to take care of your household. Yeah. And a lot of people are in the pinch right now. And so use it to better your household because the economy, become strong when we become strong financially, you know, as, you know, households all across America. So take care of your household first.
Right. And that's such a good point, Rachel. The stronger we are individually in our households, the stronger our economy will be long term. So,
absolutely.
You know, that just dumping all of your cash on me. Yeah.
As much as it breaks my heart to say, you go buying a new J. Crew dress is probably not really going to stimulate the economy that effectively. So,
well, there you go. But maybe warding off another crisis, or just investing it, or saving it, I should say, is going to, you know, be healthier for your family. And that's really good. So, and then on the stock market, you know, the stock market, I kind of look at it, my husband and I, and we're like, wow, it's so up and down. It's like this little roller coaster you're on. You're not sure where you're going to go. For those who are looking at that, do you recommend selling stocks right now?
I don't know. You need to be looking at specifically your retirement. Okay. So I'm talking about 401ks, Roth IRAs, where a lot of those are invested in mutual funds, which is 90 to 200 stock. Is considered a mutual fund. And so that's where most of our retirement is, most people in America. And so making sure you ride out the wave, do not cash out specifically retirements, because listen, it is an up and down ride, and your retirement is not for next month. And if it is, then talk to your financial advisor and, you know, financial planner and see what they would advise. But for most of us, we still have, you know, some people it's another 2 years, other people it's another 30 years, like depending on your age. This is a long-term play. This is not for the short term. And here's what's hard is a lot of people make really bad decisions for fearful, specifically with their money. And fear is a terrible financial advisor. Do not let fear drive it. And if fear drives it, then you're going to see the stock market and be like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. I got to pull my money out. Listen, no, ride it out. Because again, after all this is said and done, I believe that we're going to go back to maybe not exactly where we were, but I think eventually we'll get there. Like we had a booming economy, and your money's going to come back. And some people even say the idea like, oh, I lost money in the market, but a lot of people had more money in the market just from their returns than they did even what they invested their principal. So remember that too. So just remember, ride it out. This is for the long term.
And for those that are able to right now, are interested in it, what about buying stocks? I have a girlfriend who's like, now's the time to buy Costco stock, because everyone is going to Costco. But what are your thoughts on buying stocks right now?
Yeah, I think if you're in a financial position to do it, then yes, do. So I want you first totally out of debt, and I want you to have a 3 to 6 month emergency fund in cash in the bank. Once you have that and you have some money, then yeah, you can buy a little extra if you want. I recommend after that to fund 15% of your income into retirement. So maybe you just are more, you know, diligent about where you're putting that money for retirement. Because yeah, the stock market, it's on sale right now. So those people that have no debt, you have that fully funded emergency fund, and you have some spare cash, and you're like, you know what, I want to throw it at the market right now, then yeah, you could definitely do it. That's not where a lot of people are specifically. So I'd rather you take care of more of the short-term things in your household versus that long-term play. But again, those that are in the financial position to throw some extra cash in the market, do it, because it's on sale.
And when you say no debt, does that include mortgage debt, or that is just credit card debt or car debt or student loan debt?
Yeah, great question. No, that does not include your mortgage.
Okay. So, and anything else besides mortgage?
Exactly. Yes.
Got it. And then what do you say to, somebody who, you know, has an emergency fund right now, but they are living paycheck to paycheck, and they're worried about their, you know, the economy and like what's going to happen, but they have not lost income yet. What would you say to them? I mean, they have some money as an emergency fund, but it's very tenuous otherwise, because they see what's happening around them. They're not sure what's going to happen with their job.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think again, if you're in an industry, or your boss has talked to you about your company, and you know, if you have facts that, well, my job may get cut loose in the next month if things don't turn around, like, that you have factual evidence of it, then if I were you, I would stockpile as much money as possible, do a budget, cut out all unnecessary expenses, and just stockpile more money for that emergency fund when that job loss happens. But if you're just fearful in general about, you know, what's going on right now, and there is nothing specifically happening to you, that's again where I'm like, no, don't let fear take over. Facts are your friends. And so if you are living paycheck to paycheck, but you have that emergency fund, and you don't see your industry, you know, going down, and you don't think, okay, I'm probably not going to lose my job, then continue to, again, still live on a budget, be really intentional with your money, but continue to pay down the debt that you have, because the less debt you have in general, the less risk you have as well.
So basically no reflexive moves right now based on just the fear of the economy not recovering, or maybe there will be layoffs. I mean, it sounds like it, I love it. The message is very hopeful. Like, just hang in there, you know, ride the wave and, you know, maybe cut back on spending if you can, like, reorganize that budget, but don't freak out. It's going to be okay.
Like my husband and I, for instance, like, we're continuing on what we've always been doing, but we did look at our budget in April and we were like, okay, we could probably lower this category a little bit, that, you know, just to say, okay, is there any other places that we can really save some, just in case? So like there's a smart way to go about it, but we're not in full blown panic mode, freaking out and just, you know, thinking the whole world's going to end, because that's not the mindset that you need to be in. So again, depending on where you are financially, is where you need to be with your emergency fund, for instance.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, what's been very helpful for me, I mean, the bad news obviously is a lot of people don't have jobs right now. I mean, obviously with the virus, people are being hurt. People are passing away. I mean, we have a death toll that's rising. I mean, that's just so horrific. And on the economic side, people are struggling. But then the good news is that the response that we're taking and these measures of stay at home, shelter in place to try to, you know, stop the spread of the virus, et cetera, those are actions that can be lifted. And so this isn't some, you know, underlying That's economic right. crisis that happened. It's something that, you know, hopefully can, like you're saying, go back, maybe not immediately to where it was. It might take time, but there's a lot of hope in that.
Yeah. Like there was, like, back in 08 and 09, if you guys remember that, especially in California, I know your housing system got just hit so hard there. Yeah, that was a whole debacle with the economy. Like you're saying, this is an outside force coming in and having to pause our economy for a period of time in order to get the health stuff, you know, controlled and all of that. So yeah, you're exactly right. I think that's a great point that the economy was what affected, you know, what's going on with our money today. It was something else. And so hopefully once those sanctions are lifted, then we can hopefully go back to somewhat of a normal life.
Now, looking at really big picture on this stuff, because we have folks who are listening who are teens, and then we also have, you know, adults and some folks who are even looking at retirement. So it's really a gamut. But especially for younger people who are listening, what would you say are the top three things, like whether you're a teen or you're in college or you're in your 20s or 30s, what are the top three things that you would recommend that we do to manage finances, especially if we haven't already spent a lot of time working on it yet? I mean, maybe we've done a little bit of research, or have maybe taken a class, or we've done a little something, but what are those top three things that you think are important for those who are younger to do financially?
Yeah, I'd say first and foremost to budget. And that's kind of like a womp womp word. I feel like you're like, what?
But budgets really, are beautiful.
Yes, that's it. I know. They seriously, being intentional with where every dollar is going of your income is going to help you build wealth over time. I mean, this is so, so important. So many people, their paycheck comes in, their paycheck goes out, and they're like, I have no clue where my money went. That's how a lot of people feel. You do taxes, you know, and you turn everything in April, and you think, well, now July for this year, but in April, and you think, where did all my money go? Like, I made all this money this year. Where did it all go? That's how a lot of people live. And so being very, very purposeful with where your money's going, and you can download, we have a free budgeting app called Every Dollar. Awesome. So download that. And really a simple budget, I always recommend a zero-based budget where your income minus your expenses equals zero. So every dollar
so
coming
no red.
In. Yeah, that's right.
No
every
negative.
Dollar coming in is assigned to a category. Yes, live on less than you make, and the budget will help with that. Number two, I would say stay away from debt. Debt is so normalized in our culture today. And, you know, all the credit card debt, the car loans, especially student loans. Oh, my goodness. You know, like the average student loan, I think, is $32,000 now at graduation. And I mean, debt has just become so normalized. But if you can imagine living your life where you were making a paycheck and you owed no one anything, like no money was going out to debt, like you literally controlled every penny of your income, that just puts the power back in your place. So instead of paying out interest, maybe you can actually earn interest by investing and doing different things. So being really intentional with avoiding debt and getting out of debt if you have it. So we recommend getting out of debt by paying off the smallest amount to the largest amount. Forget the interest rate, all of that. Pay minimum payments on everything and pay off the smallest debt first. And then once that's paid off, take everything you were paying on that, roll it over to the second smallest debt. So getting out of debt and letting your income work for you instead of you working for the bank basically your whole life is a really tremendous habit to do. And then I would say the third thing, it's a little different and it's going to be hard for some people during this time. But I would recommend giving. giving is a part of money that a lot of people don't talk about, but there's a character issue when it comes to money. A lot of people think, oh, if I just had more money, I'd be happy. If I just could buy more things, I'd be happy. And that's what ends up with $15,000 in credit card debt with a bunch of crap that you don't need, and it's not made you happy. And so realizing as early as possible in life that that stuff, it's fun, and I'm great with you having stuff. Like, get some nice stuff, that's fine. But to understand that, like, your joy and your happiness cannot be wrapped up in things, because if it is, you're going to be a rat in a wheel for the rest of your life. You're going to run to the next car, to the next piece of clothing, to the next vacation, thinking that something's going to satisfy you. And I think we are all built in who we are to be givers. And when you start to give and actually help people that are in need, that is a joy that you can have with money that you can't experience anywhere else. And so I encourage people to give a little until you can give a lot. And so start where you are, but just make that a habit in your life. And the earlier you do that, I promise, I think the more joyful your life is when you just serve and give to people.
I love that. And it's hard because our culture is so oriented in the other direction as far as consumption. So we're, yes, you know, being encouraged constantly to spend. And so it's hard to reorient that towards, maybe I don't need that. I'm going to instead give, you know, instead of that latte, that's a $5 I can give to, you know, homeless ministry, or instead of that, you know, new dress, that's $100 I could give to a pro-life ministry or whatever it is. Like, there's a lot of other places that money can go. No, that's really good. And then what would you say, I know we're close out here, but what would you say are the, oh, one other quick question on student loans, actually. Do you recommend student loans if that's the only pathway to college? And I know there might be that's a whole other conversation possibly, but what would be a resource on that end? Because I do know that's a decision a lot of folks are making, or they're now stuck with the student loan and having to pay that off. But your take on that?
Well, real quick, so those students that are going into college, I have a pretty hardcore line where I say just don't borrow money, because there is a way to still go to school without debt. So number one, your school choice is what's important. So staying in state, taking in state tuition, even a community college for the first year or two, go get your prereqs at a community college. It's fine. Yeah, and then transfer cheap if you want. Yes, don't pick a school that you can't afford. It's the biggest mistake people make. Number two, scholarships and grants. Still out there, go make that your part-time job. And then number three, speaking of part-time job, work mm-hmm. while you're in school. And so these three things, we are having so many success stories of young people graduating actually without any debt because of these three things that they implemented. And it'll be sacrifice on your end. And that's what's hard, is I feel like you paint this picture to an 18-year-old. Yeah, you can go to whatever college you want to go to, go study, whatever you want to do, live it up. It's going to be great. And that's their expectation of college, where our message, it's different. Like, you may have to sacrifice your quote unquote dream school, but I promise, when you're 32, you don't really care where you got your diploma. The fact that you don't have student loan payments is like, so gosh, I've talked to so many of my own friends and they're like, man, if I only stayed in state, like, why did I step over a state line and pay three times as much? So you may sacrifice your time by working. You may sacrifice your dream of that specific school, but listen, getting the college, that degree, that's your key. That's what you're going for. So really focusing on that. But Anthony O'Neill, he has a book called Debt Free Degree, and it's all about how to go to school debt free. So check that out. And then those of you that already have student loan debt, you've graduated, just put that in your debt snowball, the thing that we talked about earlier, by paying off your debt. And if it's broken up into multiple payments, keep it broken up so you can get those quick wins by paying it off.
That is awesome. And what is, last question for you, I know we got to go here, but what are the biggest mistakes? I mean, not just generally, but maybe even right now, we talked about, you already talked about fear, like being fear-based and just making decisions financially based on that right now. But any other mistakes that you would caution people from making right now?
Yeah, I think I would say, you know, do the things you have to do in the short term to get by, but don't make decisions with your money that is going to affect your long term. Kind of like we talked about, like with retirement.
Right.
Don't cash that out. And for young people, be thinking about retirement, be thinking about the long term as well. And like, what are things you could be doing now to set yourself up really well for the long term? We're just such a short term mindset culture. It's like instant gratification. I mean, everything is just right here. We just want to feel good in the moment. But you really have to push against that and look at your long-term landscape of your finances, not just what's going on today.
Well, and hopefully this kind of whole pause we're in right now, everything that's happening can be an opportunity for some folks to really re-look at their finances and the way they're living financially and be healthier, you know?
Yes,
and
so that's a great point. Seriously. Like if you find yourself living paycheck to paycheck right now and you don't have an emergency fund, you have a lot of debt and you've lost your job, like there are things to do right now to keep you above your head above water 100%. So don't lose hope, but also don't lose that intensity that you're feeling, because you can take that feeling after all this is over and say, you know what? I'm going to clean up this mess. I'm going to quit living the way I've been living with my money. And I'm actually going to be really purposeful and get myself out of debt, get an emergency fund in place. So use this time. You're exactly right. To really learn to, okay, what I've been doing with my money isn't working now. So what can I do to set myself up for success in the future?
That's great. And so what, I know you have a show and all kinds of amazing resources. Can you just share to close us out where people can find that? I mentioned your website before, rachelcruz.com, but resources, and you mentioned some great books and other folks, but top resources for people to be checking out right now.
Yes. So the Rachel Cruz Show, we have its podcast and video. So you can watch it on YouTube or Facebook. So you can check that out. We have a lot of messages of hope. We're calling it a whole series from all the Ramsey personalities going out, talking specifically about everything going on with COVID-19 and your money. So you can check that out as well, and books and all of it, but you can find it all on rachelcruz.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Rachel. I hope this was encouraging for folks listening, and I'm so appreciative of you for taking the time and looking forward to checking out all that stuff. Thank you so much for joining.
Well, thanks for having me, Lila. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Lila Rose Show. If you enjoyed it, if it was helpful, please share the podcast, pass it on. You can leave a review or give the podcast 5 stars. That helps us reach more people. I'm really excited to tackle more episodes in coming weeks. You can contact me at any point. I love hearing from you guys with ideas about the show, feedback you have for me. You can contact me at thoughts@lilaroseshow.com, thoughts@lilaroseshow.com, or contact me on Instagram. I love hearing from you. And I hope everyone stays safe. I hope that you keep the faith, keep the hope, and I look forward to talking to you all soon.